You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and it's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On this episode, which is being dropped on the 11th day of March, 2020, I am playing a little more of my interview with Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on all the platforms where you get your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB_net. We're at LockedOnMLB on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball on podcast on Instagram. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network where it's your team every day, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball and Locked On Reds with Jeff Carr. Hey, here's what happens sometimes. When you do a podcast like this, you go on tangents every once in a while. And Jeff Carr and I had a really fun and spirited conversation. We talked about our thoughts of the 2020 Cincinnati Reds and the predictions that we had coming forward in the upcoming season, which hopefully the season is going to start on time as the coronavirus is continuing to shut down things here and there. I hope that opening day will still happen at the end of the month. I think we need baseball more than ever, but hey, I digress. In our conversation, we went on a couple of tangents that didn't quite fit into the show, but I thought were kind of fun conversations. The first part was a part of the conversation where Jeff Carr was making his thoughts known about something he's really excited about for the Reds season in 2020, but it didn't have to do with the players or even the management, but rather the concession stand.
The thing that I am most excited about for this 2020 season is at Great American Ballpark. You can now get Fry Box S'mores. Fries.
Right, Hold on a second. My computer just crashed. Wait a second. Say what you're saying, but I can be very careful because I don't want to get an explicit rating for this podcast. Wait, you said fried box. I mean, this sounds like those little magnets on your refrigerator. You just rearranged them in random order. What words did you just say, and tell me the order of which you just said them?
So they're my favorite concession stand at the ballpark is called Fry Box, which literally you get a box of fries and you can get barbecue pulled pork, you can get buffalo chicken, and now you can get s'mores, which is fries covered in chocolate sauce, covered in marshmallow, covered in cinnamon graham crackers, and topped with M&Ms.
I don't mean to make light of things, but I actually think coronavirus is better for you than what you just okay, let me get this straight, because this, you insinuated this, and now I want to make sure that I think I gained a pound just hearing you describe that. So this isn't like, okay, like when I go to AT&T Park or whatever, it's Oracle Park now. Come on. I'm just going to call it Pac Bell Park from now on. When I go to the Giants and I see them, and I go up to a bunch of Giants games every year, you get your garlic fries. That's the law. You cannot see a Giant game without a big pile of garlic fries. And they're a little – sometimes they're a little soggy, but they put on every garlic clove from the city of Gilroy on top of your garlic fries there. And you're sitting there, and you are not making out with anybody at the end of this night. There are seagulls everywhere, but there are no vampires flying around the Giants game because, it's Dracula's there, and it's like, shows up, whoa, it's worse than Blade for them. Worse than Blade, okay? Right. How many more vampires can I shove into one? Lestat is there. Interview with a vampire. The first question was, I didn't go to a Giants game.
Sparkle when you eat them?
Oh, you completely do. Van Helsing, they should be called Van Helsing's garlic fries. But what it is, it's a big-ass plate of fries with seven or eight ice cream scoops of garlic on top of it. And it's beautiful, okay? And then if I also want to have the Orlando Cepeda Cha-Cha Bowl, which is sort of the Dominican beef and jerk chicken and everything like that. If I want to have a dog, I want to have a brat, if I want to have something, you know, the sort of stuff that God wants you to have at a ballpark. But I don't get a bowl with they shove a nacho cheese and the meat and chili and Dominican pork and everything into a big bowl, and they mix it up like a salad. You know, I kind of arrange it on my little cardboard thing. Here's my drink, here are my fries, here's this, here's the defibrillator machine, which I'm going to need by the seventh inning.
Yeah.
But what you are describing to me, which I think commits at least four of the deadly sins, I may have to refer to the Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt film, but explain, they're combined? Yep. It's fries and the s'mores together?
Yep. So you have, it's big enough for two people, really.
Or one usually, artery.
Usually I eat them by myself.
It's literally just a box. And you got all the fries, and mixed in will be the chocolate sauce, and mixed in with a marshmallow with some graham crackers that are cinnamon flavored, apparently, thrown in there. And then you got the M&Ms. And I'm so excited thinking about it. Because, see, here's the thing. When you go to a Cincinnati game, if you only go to one Cincinnati game a year, everyone says, you got to get Skyline, obviously. Because that's a Cincinnati thing. You get Skyline, or, you know, if you don't want to get Skyline, you get a Big Red Smoky, which is like, you know, just a hot.
Well, I don't want an explicit rating. Please describe.
Yeah. You know, it's
legal in some states, not legal in every state. So yeah.
Yes, legal on the Ohio River. and then you've got all manner of beer that you can find and all this other stuff. But now you can also get a sugar high off of this box of fries covered in sugary goodness, and I can't wait.
Okay, here's where I am not a health freak, okay? Sure. Everything you just said, except the beer, I'm not a beer drinker, but everything that you just said are things that I love. Cinnamon, I think Jerry Seinfeld spoke about cinnamon as it's second to no spice, okay? Yeah. Cinnamon's great. M&M's, you had me at a low. Graham crackers, fantastic. Chocolate, forget about it. Fries, fantastic. Although every taste you just said is fantastic. But if I'm going to put them in a blender, I mean, it's just them all happening at the same time, that's almost diabolical. Like my taste buds would just be like, you know what? I'm just eating lettuce from now on. I can't handle all of this at once.
You know? Yeah, no, I will probably have to find somewhere that sells a salad afterward and eat
but
a salad.
I like to separate those. Right. It's like saying, what do you want Thanksgiving dinner? What do you want Thanksgiving? I want turkey, okay? You got the stuffing, you got the gravy, you got the cranberry sauce, then you're going to have your pumpkin pie, you're going to have the string beans, but I'm not going to get a big spoon and put it all in one heap and put it all in my mouth at once. There's too much going on. There's too much going on there.
And you know, and I might be overhyping it in my mind or something like that. And I eat it and I'm like, you know what? You're probably right, Sully. I probably should never eat this again. But
this is not about health, you understand.
No, I know.
This is about the ecstatic pleasingness of I'm eating fries and graham crackers. And it's, but I will say, true confession for me, okay? There's a big movement to have like salt on your chocolate.
Yeah, have you salt ever hit and it? Sweet.
Don't like it. Get it out of here.
Okay.
I like salt. Hell, I'll eat anchovies. You get me a tin of anchovies, I'll rip the top off, give me a damn fork, I'm going to town. And I love my chocolate. But you know what I don't want? I don't want chocolate anchovies.
No.
I love probably my favorite thing to eat in the world. Is like a great bed of pasta with seafood mixed into it. You got your shrimp, your scallops, your clams, and like a light tomato sauce with some garlic in it. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Or maybe carbonara, which is kind of creamy with egg and with bits of ham in it. It's fantastic. I also love fudge, okay? Mm-hmm. But if I'm at an Italian restaurant and they put down my plate of pasta with seafood, or put down my plate of carbonara, and the person said, would you like some grated cheese? I said, no, sprinkle some fudge on it.
Hasta a la fudge.
Yes, would you like some fudge? Would you like me to crumple a Three Musketeers over it? No! Different things. Different things.
I hear you. I understand. And it definitely sounds a little out of the box, even though it's going to be in a box. But I'm so excited about it.
All right. Well, do you know what? Here's the deal. Because Jeff Carr is going to be on the Locked On MLB podcast. He was going to be on Locked On MLB, and he is going to report later about, what is this called again? This is called the last thing Jeff Carr eats. What's this thing called again? Can I order one Here Lies Jeff Carr?
the S'mores Fry Box.
S'mores Fry Box. Remember that scene in Jaws when Hooper had to cut the shark open, and he's pulling out like the license plate? And he pulls out the thing. He's trying to see if the little boy's remains are in there. We're going to have to do that with you after the game. We're going to cut open Jeff Carr, and we're going to throw out fries. We're going to throw out graham crackers. We're going to throw out M&Ms. We're going to throw out a license plate. He didn't. And what's the line? He didn't eat a car, did he? Jeff Carr, ladies and gentlemen, it all comes full circle. Look, man, you're a great guy. There's no doubt that you're not going to survive that Reds game you go to. So I just, I'm sad that you didn't get to see another Reds title in your lifetime.
That's what it was. I was worried about not seeing it. Here, let me see if the camera can pick this up.
Okay. Oh, good God. Okay. He's showing this, and I may have to put this on the Twitter feed. I am convinced that the concessions at the Great American Ballpark are being run by either a bunch of frat boys or someone who claims to have a medical card for cannabis. It would be really great if I had these fries, but it had graham crackers and M&Ms and a DVD of Raiders of the Lost Ark and maybe a live fish and a fish ticket for their next concert. That'd be the best. Let's sell it at the Reds game.
And with no relation whatsoever, but it's only ironic, the fact that there were a group of people in Ohio that tried to apply for being a Bengals or Browns fan as an existing condition for medical marijuana. The Reds weren't involved, but, you know, maybe yeah. It was those same people that came up with this idea.
I have no doubt. I can't wait. Well, look at Jeff Carr. Let me tell you something. That is, I am horrified by that. No part of me looks at that and says that a human being should put that in their body and consume it. But at the same time, you know, go to town.
Thank you.
Here's a little more of my conversation with Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds, where we talked about a potential trade partner for the Cincinnati Reds.
Or, you know, who knows? Maybe they can convince Cleveland. Maybe Cleveland's out of the playoff race and convince them to trade Frankie Lindor down here. Then let's take it.
Yeah, the Lindor thing actually is a really intriguing subplot of this season, because unless the Indians just burst out of the gate and look like, oh my God, they're going to go win 100 games this year, I don't see that happening, especially after they've traded away Kluber. Not that Kluber was a Cy Young contender last year. I think he only pitched in like 10 games. No, actually, I'm looking now, he pitched only 7 games. So there you go. He was even worse than I thought. When you trade away your ace and you trade away Bauer, even if you have the Biebers and the Clevengers and the Plutkos of the world, you're basically saying you're expecting to have a subpar year. And Lindor, they're not going to resign him. And he is an elite player. And he seems like a absolute perfect fit for the Reds right now, that he would fit in to that shortstop position where he's a gold glover who could help make up for the defense that may be lacking with Moustakas at second base, and would take a little bit of the pressure off of Joey Votto if he's no longer the Joey Votto of 2016, 2017. sure. Then you put him in, even if it's only for half the season, even if you're only renting him, to have that type of player in their offense and their starting rotation avoids injury, I put that team next to St. Louis every day of the week.
Oh, yeah. And the interesting thing, and to kind of spread out from just the looking at the Reds' point of view with Lindor, is that the Dodgers didn't get rid of any of their key blue-chip prospects in getting Mookie Betts and David Price.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, so not to rub it in. But so they're definitely still in the market too, which from a Reds fan's perspective sucks, because really that's who any National League team that has designs on a deep postseason run, they got to look at LA. They got to match themselves up with what the Dodgers are going to be doing, because I find it hard to believe that the Dodgers won't be on top of the National League this season.
Oh yeah.
So, when it comes to, you know, if you compare farm systems apples to apples, the Dodgers have more to offer. So it'll be interesting to see if the Reds can pry him away from Cleveland, and if the Dodgers just aren't even worried about trading for Frankie Lindor by that time. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be fun.
We'll see. It's going to be a very, very interesting year. Well, hey, look at Jeff. Where can people listen to you?
You can catch me on that Himalaya podcasting app, or on any podcasting app, really, when it comes to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, all that good stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with 3 F's, and follow the show at Locked On Reds.
All right. And you can listen to us and check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball, too. That's a new show that is starting up here with the season about to go. For those of you we're big fantasy baseball fans and big fantasy baseball managers. Now, Jeff Carr, I want to thank you for being part of the show. It's going to be a really fun year. And do you know what? There is an outside chance that we could have a rematch of the 19 World Series. Not the 2019 World Series, the 1919 World Series. The last time there was this much hubbub over a World Series and whether or not players were doing stuff on the level. Well, in 1919, you may remember that from Eight Men Out or Field of Dreams, that was the White Sox through the World Series, but the Reds were the one who were the beneficiaries of that World Series, and the Reds and their fans are tired of having people say that that was a stolen World Series. So maybe 101 years later, with the White Sox making the moves they're making and the Reds making the moves they're making, we can settle the score. I'm really bad at creating hype.
Hey, for all of those that were still alive back then, you know, shout out to Heinie Groh and no, I'm kidding. <You know.
laughs> Exactly. That's a lot of fans, a lot of Cincy fans remember that 1919 squad. Hey, look, man, thanks for being part of the show. Thanks you all for listening to Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.